Good morning. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. And if you're here for the first time, or as Andrew said, for the thousandth time, it's wonderful to be able to have you with us today. If you're joining us online, welcome. Thanks for being a part of what we're doing here at Grace Church today. Now, we're gonna put a pause on 1 Timothy here for a day, and we're going to do something a little different. And let me tell you a little story. After Amber and Eric, Amber, my daughter, and Eric were in the church here, and they were married. They came to our house one night and said, "Hey, we just want you to know we've been moved in the job, and we're going to Kansas City, and we're going to be living down there." And they thought I'd be all upset, and I said, "Well, give me a reason to go see the Chiefs or the other teams play." But anyway, they said, "Pray for us. We want to be able to find a church down there." So they visited around and finally ended up going to Antioch Bible Baptist Church of Gladstone, Missouri, and that's where they ended up. And as they got in and got busy, they said, "Hey, you need to come see us sometime and hear Pastor Bob preach." So on one of the few times I was gone, I did go and heard Pastor Bob, and it was a joy to hear him, to know they were in a good church where the Bible was preached, where evangelism was important, and it was a beautiful thing. Over time, there was an event where one of my granddaughters got really, really, really sick and was in the hospital, and I was down there a few days, and a pastor walked in the room from their church to visit, and it was Pastor Sean Barr. You guys know who Sean Barr is. He is the fella that's, he's originally from our area here, but how many years did you say he was down there on the staff? 15 years. And so he was there visiting Gigi, one of our grandchildren, was very ill in the hospital. And so that one thing led to another, and he said, "What's going on in Des Moines?" And we said, "Well, Amber, Bonnie was there. I wasn't even there." She said, "Oh, it's pretty cool. God's given us a church building on the east side of town, and we're just praying for the right man, for God to send the right man to come that wants to work in inner city ministry to help us get a church planted in that area." And so his eyes got real big, and he says, "What's your husband's phone number?" And so, you know, the rest is history. So we began to talk, and it is at that time I got to know Bob even a little more. Through the years, COVID and other times, I have called Pastor Bob Bear. I have called him just to get some thoughts and advice about things. And it turns out that what we are doing in this year that began in September of last year, which is a year of transition, where, you know, I as the senior pastor am going to be moving on, and the church is going to bring in somebody else, and God is providing, we believe. But they did this themselves about 2 to 3 years ago, and when I found out about that, I wanted all of the details. I said, "Hey, send me the stuff. How are you doing this?" And he recommended a book, and then he sent us all kinds of processes that they did. And it's wonderful to have somebody to help you in the ministry. And Brother Bob, unbeknownst to many of you, was a tremendous help to our church as we have been doing this. And he's here today. I've asked him to come. I've asked him to just put another grain of sand on this pile that we are doing this year of transition, to just encourage our hearts that what God is leading us to do and what we're doing here is a good thing. And it's the right thing. And I want you to give a good Grace Church welcome. I want to introduce his wife. This is Judy. Would you stand, Bob? Would you stand with her? This is Judy there with us today. And Pastor Bob, would you come? And we want to just let you have some time and just share God's word, share your story, and just encourage our hearts today. And thank you for taking the time. Thank you.
Good morning. Everybody alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic? I don't know about that, so it's good. We are honored to be here today, to be at Grace Church, and we've heard a lot of you over the years from our family there that were here with Eric and Amber. They are faithful members of our church and engaged at our church, and we're thankful that God led them there. We are so thankful to be a part of what God's doing at Grace Church. Thank you for Pastor Phil and Bonnie and their faithfulness to serve these many years. And thank you for all of you who are engaged, amen, and being part of the local church here at the, almost at Antioch, but at Grace Church. And so today, I want to just for a little bit, just if you don't mind, just kind of share a little bit. It's really God's story through our life and how that happened, and just kind of share a little bit about what that could look like, and then get into God's word as well, and talk about some transitional priorities for us as Christ followers to make a difference in the cause of Christ and his church. We're thankful for that. I'm just going to fast forward here. We went to college, my wife and I together, down in Springfield, Missouri, at Baptist Bible College. And in September of 1978, of that year, we had a quartet that traveled for about two different years. And so they would call certain churches to call and to come and have a quartet. Anybody have any quartets anymore? I mean, what happened to the quartets, right? They're just gone, all right? They're gone. So we have our quartet, our piano player. We went there to Antioch Bible Baptist Church for our very first time. And they had to get together that Sunday. And we were having just a great time with them. And we went to the Royals baseball game. On the way to the game, the pastor, they call him Pastor Joe, just said, "Hey, we're looking for someone to come to our church and be a director of ministry in our choir and all those kind of things, like directing, helping with, what did I call it, Judy? College and career ages." And so they're looking for someone, and there's five of us in this van, and everybody said, "Bob doesn't have any place to go." All right, all the guys already had somewhere to go, and and so then we kind of had a conversation a little bit that weekend, and then maybe a month or so later, he called us, and then in October, he stopped at our apartment there in Springfield and just was asking about, "Would you consider coming to Antioch?" And we're from the Northwest, like Idaho and Oregon, and so we couldn't wait to get back to Idaho. That was where our heart was, to go back to Idaho. And so we just kind of kept putting it off. We came there on a Christmas season there. They're still asking us, and we're just saying, "Hey, thank you," and we're praying about it, praying about it, and kind of thinking we can't wait to get back to the Northwest. And then we went into what it was, Easter. We got there to Easter. And by now, it's like, "I'm going to graduate in a month." So he asked again, "Would you consider?" And just by God's grace, amen, church began just to pursue me, and by God's grace, said, "We want you to come." And so we prayed again and said, "Yes, by God's grace, we will come." And almost 45 years later, here we are. Okay, God was so faithful to allow us to be a part of that ministry. And then about 13 years when we were in this ministry there at Antioch, Pastor Joe never ever talked about a transition. Never talked about transition. He always wanted to plant a new church in an area not too far from us in Platte City. And in fact, one day I just said, "Brother Joe, I'll go do that. I'll help plant that church." He said, "No, I want you to stay here with me, and we're going to get somebody else to do that." And those kind of things went on. And we had a breakfast in March of 1992. That's a while back. 1992, we had breakfast. And again, he's never talked about transition at all. And at that breakfast, he said, "Would you consider being the next pastor of our church?" I was just taken back, all right? I knew he loved me. He was my mentor, almost like a dad to me. So we had that conversation. I just said, "Well, let me think about it, let me talk to my wife." And so about 2 weeks later, we had our conversation and talked. I came back 2 weeks later and said, "By God's grace, yes, we'd like to step into that." 2 weeks later, our church voted for that, 99.9%. Somebody was one person that didn't, I think it was my wife maybe, that didn't do that. I can't remember who it was. But so we got there. So here we are, 13 years in, and now by God's grace, I'm the lead pastor of our church. And 6 weeks later, our founding pastor had a massive heart attack and passed. It just rocked our world as a church. I'm 35 years old. I thought Pastor Joe will be there with me if I have questions or need something. And our whole church was rocked, but God just worked in our church family to move forward, and we were so grateful for that, and just began to grow and move, and we got some buildings and things going, and God was just super faithful in what he was doing at Antioch. We were so humbled by that. And our church rallied around the gospel, rallied around the local church. To fast forward that, in 2000, we came and to invite a young man by the name of Steve Doss. We were looking for a summer intern. And so Steve came to our church in that summer, and just for 3 months. And when we was there, we thought, "Man, this guy is sharp and did a great job." He still had a couple years of college to go. And so he went back, and we kind of, in some ways, kind of forgot about him. And then 4 years later, looking for a student ministry leader, pastor, and we got talking with our plan, said, "Hey, we had this guy 4 years ago named Steve Doss. I wonder if we can find him." So we looked him up, found Steve, and said, Steve, we're looking for someone to be a student pastor. Would you consider praying and becoming part of Antioch? He and his wife, Ruth, prayed. They had two babies, right? Twins, two boy twins that were like 2 months old. Crazy, all right? They said yes, came to our church and served so well in student ministry for 8 years, served in counseling ministry for about 4 or 5 years. And then just a few years ago, maybe 5, 6 years ago, I talked to Pastor and said, hey, would you consider just talking about doing, helping me in teaching and preaching, where maybe I'll do 4 days, 4 Sundays, and maybe you'll do 2 Sundays. And we did that for about 8 years, transitioning back and forth and teaching. And he was a great teacher and preacher. And then in 2020, all that kind of stuff with COVID came around a little bit, 2019. In 2019, 20, I just talked to Steve and said, Steve, I've just been thinking about, praying about for a number of years about what it would look like to transition in our church, and have you become our next pastor? And Steve, again, prayed and sought God's leadership in that, and his wife, and he said yes. And for about 8 months, we met together with the team of our church, the team of men in our church who spoke into our hearts. In fact, I picked those men and wanted Steve to know, here are 3 or 4 guys that I believe in. What about you? Are you okay with these 4 men? Right? And he said, yes, we're all in. And so for about 8 months, we went through the book you guys talked about there, that transitional book that was so good and so helpful. We had these men that were speaking into our lives and mentoring us and encouraging us and teaching us. And so we just began to grow through that process for about 8 months. And then in January of 2021, we began to move toward that process, and we shared with our deacon team, here's our plan, hadn't told anybody else, here's our plan, that we want to transition Pastor Bob and to Pastor Steve as our lead pastor. Our deacons were ecstatic, were helpful and just great and just excited about it. And so we prayed with them, they engaged our lives. And then we're lucky to kind of fast forward here. Again, Steve's been here now 20 years, I mean, at our church. So we were there. And so then the next month, we had the deacons vote and say, hey, we're all in it. Unanimously voted. It's all in. In about April, we talked to our church family and presented that to them. And then in May, the 4th of that year, we had a vote, 99.8%. 8%, 2 people. Some thought it was my wife and my mom, all right? My wife and my mom didn't vote for that. I don't know that for sure, but it was just 2 people that didn't vote. And Steve began to be our lead pastor. And he is faithfully serving. And just to let you know as well, I'm still part of the team. We transitioned, and so we're in our 3rd year now. In fact, in June, 3 years of the transition. I am so humbled by our church and grateful to be a part of that. Steve, we love each other. Our church is growing. God's working, and we're excited about what God is doing. We get to be a part of that. And I just want to just encourage you today that God is faithful. Amen, church? This church has been a faithful church. Your pastor has been a faithful pastor. Bonnie has been a faithful wife. You'll never truly know church family. You'll never fully know what it means to be and to know what it means to have a pastor and a wife that are engaged, and you'll never know what they go through and what they experience. Are you with me, church? You'll never, never fully know what happens. They're faithful. You are a church that I would say is super blessed by God, his grace, his goodness, and this transition you're looking into. I love this here, that 4-pager. I think that's just so well done. Your church is up to that, knowing what is happening. We did it super fast, but again, we had been there a long time, and our church was just a different season. But you guys are in a good season, and what God is doing and his faithfulness. I think of Pastor Matt, and his family, and how God is working through their lives and making a difference for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me just transition here into some time in the Word today and give you some encouragement here. I hope you've encouraged what we said today about it. It's God's story through our lives, and God is at work. God is faithful. God has worked in this church here at Grace Church, and God is faithful. You see, in Scripture, we find examples of transitional leadership. one of which was a man by the name of Moses passing leadership on to Joshua. We see Elijah moving to Elisha, David to Solomon, and even Jesus Christ himself in many ways was transitioning his ministry to the ministry of his disciples. And so for many years, Moses was responsible for the Hebrew people and leading them. And as he was nearing his leadership career, I would put it, he began to preach a challenging sermon, promoting and prompting the people to choose between life and death, prosperity and destruction. Moses went on to command the people of Israel to love the Lord their God, to walk in his obedience, and to keep his commands. But his last actions didn't stop at delivering a sermon to the people. He began to announce his plan for succession. And here's what God's word says in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. If you have your scripture, chapter of Deuteronomy 31, I'm going to look at verse number 6 and following. Here's what God's word says about this transition. He says in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid of them. For as it is, the Lord your God who goes with you, he will not leave you and he will not abandon or forsake you." How about that kind of a God? Amen, church? He'll never abandon you. He'll never forsake you. Never forsake you. In verse 7, "Then Moses summoned Joshua and said in the sight of all of Israel, 'Be strong and courageous. For you must go with his people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it.'" In verse 8, it is the Lord. I love this. It is the Lord who goes before you. And in this church today, church, it is, I believe, the Lord going before you in this process. Amen, church? That God's all over this. God is part of this. The Lord is with us, and he goes before us. And he goes on to say, he will be with you. That God is not some absent deity, amen, church? That he is a God who is present. And Moses says, he will be with you. He will not leave or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed or be discouraged. I believe today those are important biblical words for you in this room today about what God is doing here in your transition. He instructed them to follow the Lord. Not his successor, but you follow the Lord. He supported Joshua with words of affirmation and encouragement. I love that Moses said again and time in that passage, God will be with you. He won't leave you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. And the same is true of Grace Church. God is not going to abandon this church. And by the way, this church is God's church. Amen? It's his church. It's his church. God will be with you. We see from Moses that he proactively and intentionally invested his life into Joshua. My founding pastor invested in me for 13 years, was a mentor. It was like a father to me. When we were part of our ministry there in the early years, it was like I was 25 years old. My dad had a massive heart attack and died at when I was 25 years old. It just rocked my world. My dad was a pastor and my mentor and encouraging, and pastor kind of stepped in and became my father. I was certainly so blessed by Jesus by that. And we see Moses here investing in the life in Joshua, and we see today in this place that Pastor Phil invested in the life of Matt, and not just Matt, but other leaderships in our church. You are blessed by that, church family. Please understand, you're blessed by that. You don't have a pastor who's just going to abandon and leave. Right? You are blessed. We think about Moses and he's speaking of his behavior and how he was the leadership transition and how he empowered a younger leader by the name of Joshua and how God used my founding pastor to speak into my life and make a difference in my life to empower me to lead that church by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's been said, simply put, leaders are responsible for future leadership. Pastor Phil, thank you for that. You're thinking ahead. He's not just abandoning this church. thinking, processing, praying. Amen, church? What a gift that is. So as we move on here, let me give you four transitional priorities. Are we good? Usually it's 3 points in a poem. Today it's 4 points. No poem, all right? So we're gonna go for it here, all right? Four transitional priorities. I think these are on your screens. And by the way, thank you for Denise and Kim. They're in the room today. Thank you. They helped me and all this kind of stuff get me done. This is all their stuff. They're awesome. Thank you for doing that. Four transitional priorities. First, prioritize prayer. Prioritize prayer. Paul put it this way in Colossians 4, 2 and 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer. I like that. Not just continue in prayer, amen, church, but steadfastly. Pursuing steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. A good word from the Apostle Paul. You see, through all his letters, the dynamic and the priority of prayer. Too oftentimes, church family, we dismiss prayer. Prayer is so significant. Amen? It's number one, that as a church, we're praying together what God's going to work and how he's going to do. I heard a part of Matt's message in 1 Timothy here in chapter 2 just a few weeks ago when he talked about that passage. And I like that thing that he says here. Paul says, first of all, pray. First of all, pray. The Apostle Paul got it right. Amen, church? And by your grace, your church is getting it right by the grace of Jesus Christ to follow him, to pray for God to protect this church in the transition of your pastor, Pastor Phil and Pastor Matt. They need your prayers. Succession planning may be the biggest leadership task a leader and church will ever experience and ever face. One of the most important decisions your church will make. And again, back at Antioch, we have been so humble and so just amazing what God is doing. Our church is growing. We're seeing, as you've talked about, Pastor Phil, baptisms this year. So we baptized almost 40 people this year. God's work, amen, God's at work. And to be transparent, I get to be a part of that. I get to watch and see what God is doing and making a difference in the cause of Christ. If Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not come against it, he certainly has more than capable of blessings and ability to do what he wants to do in the succession plan here at Grace Church. You can do that. And he loves it when we recognize and acknowledge our limitations and we put our trust in him in prayer, where it's not about us, how clever we are. It's about God and how great he is and his faithfulness and his goodness. In his book, A Praying Life, Paul Miller writes, that's a great book, A Praying Life. Paul Miller writes, dependency is the heartbeat of prayer. Dependency is the heartbeat of prayer. A needy heart is a praying heart. A needy heart is a praying heart. So not only the prioritizing of prayer, but also to model humility. Model humility. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 puts it this way, let nothing be done through strife, selfish ambition, or conceit, but in humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Humility is not always easy. If we're transparent, in many ways, we struggle with pride. We struggle with pride. I've had people ask me graciously, so what's it like now for you, Bob? You've been at the church now, it'll be 45 years. You've been 30 years of ministry there as a lead pastor. What about it? You know, how are you doing? Well, I got to admit, when I first started, I just felt a little bit different for me. It's okay, a little bit different. I was used to, you know, 30 years kind of being up here, you know. But it's not about being up here. God just has so worked in my heart. I'm Pastor Steve's biggest, champion. It's all about what God's doing and his faithfulness. I think I might have mentioned to you earlier that It's unusual a little bit for that to happen at the church, but we've transitioned there for 3 years. It doesn't always happen. We're going to move in another transition here this summer. Our church is very generous at our church. We're humbled by it. The church has given me a 3-month sabbatical this summer. And then Pastor C says, Bob, I want you to come in 2025, come back, and just be part of our church and just do what you want to do. Right? So what does that mean? I don't know. Isn't God good, church? Just, you've been here, Bob. I want to honor you. You love people. Serve. Just be what God wants you to do. God is good, isn't he, church? I want the same thing for you here. That's great. I'm going to want to just talk about myself. I'm humbled by that, what God is doing. We struggle with pride. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let me get there with you. You ever have sticky Bible stuff? I kind of. James chapter 4, verse 6. Hear what James says. But he gives more grace. Amen. God gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Pride is arrogance. We got to guard ourselves against pride and recognize the significance of humility. C.S. Lewis wrote, pride is spiritual cancer. Pride is spiritual cancer. It's been said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less. So it's not about me. It's not about you, amen? It's about Christ, his church, his work, that he works for us. John the Baptist put it this way, he must increase and I must decrease. Not only prioritize prayer and model humility, but by God's grace, plan wisely. Plan wisely. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You are fortunate and blessed as a church to have advisors, elders, deacons, pastors who can speak into your pastor's lives. That's a great gift you've been given here at a church, where it's not all by themselves what to do and how to handle all this, but they have people, and then they have a church family that's engaging in that is just so significant. And the Bible definitely over and over again affirms the significance of wise planning. Wise planning. God is with us in our plans. And the only way to access and be successful in confidence is through him, prayer, and dependence on him. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 puts it this way, for the Lord gives wisdom, for from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Those are good words from the Proverbs, good words of wisdom. So as you plan wisely, I encourage you to pursue wisdom together. Transitioning pastor T.J. Timms, I just came across him here a while back. He just became a pastor of a large church in Nashville called the Emmanuel Nashville. Pastor T.J. Timms puts it this way. I think it's a good word. When it comes to pastoral succession, it's not our great wisdom, but our great God who determines success. He uses all kinds of plans to accomplish his purposes. So many plans succeed not because we have the best practices, but because we have the best Savior. Isn't that a good word, church? That we have the best Savior. So prioritize prayer. Model humility, plan wisely, and then finish well. Finish well. Again, Paul puts it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 4, for I am ready, being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. My transition's coming. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And by God's grace, your pastor has lived out this passage. Amen, church. You are super, right, blessed to have what you have here. Please understand that. You're super blessed to have what you have here by the grace of God. Finish well. I love, again, what Paul says, fight the good fight. I would say this, be pastors, be people, be a church who live for the glory and the goodness of God. Be encouragers and be examples of those who will come behind you. Support your pastor, support your leaders, and support each other. Amen, church? We're in this thing together. Support each other. And Pastor Phil, thank you for you in these many years fighting the fight to stay faithful. Thank you for that. I just can't express it, church, how fortunate you are. In our area where we're at in Kansas City, a lot, we just see a lot of people 3 years. I'm not trying to be negative. Please hear my heart. Because God does move people. I understand that. 4 years here, 5 years there, 6 years here, 3 years here. There's never any cohesiveness, no oneness. Isn't it something how this works together? Think about all the grandbabies you know, and oh my word, it's just crazy. All the kind of stuff like that you get to be a part of. Weddings and funerals. You have that connection. And it's all about the good grace of Jesus Christ. When I was in college, we're from a small church in Jerome, Idaho. That's where I met my wife in Jerome, Idaho. Her father was a dairy farmer, and they lived there. It's all dairy farming there. And my dad had just got there as a pastor. I think I might have been there 3 or 4 weeks. And I was sitting by a guy I met named Dan, who was next to me. And the choir was up in the front area of our church. And to get to the choir, you had to walk along the side here. Our church had like about six rows here and six rows there. So I'm sitting there by Dan, and I see this beautiful student, this woman, walking up there, and I said to Dan, who is that? And he said, that's Judy Skelling. I said, really? So I began singing in the choir next Sunday. not really, but we got married, and we got married really, really young. I was 19. I don't, you probably shouldn't do that these days, but we just did it, all right? We just, why am I talking about? I don't know why I'm just off here. I got to get out of here, okay? Because I'm getting out of trouble here. But I don't know what I was even talking about there. Let's just get on here with it. I'm sorry. All right. When you love and give honor where honor is due to your present pastor, please hear this, church. You are free to love and honor your next pastor, right? Matt. God has plans for this church. God's going to use Pastor Matt to make a difference in this church. He's going to help it grow and move forward. And Pastor Phil is going to be doing this all the way through, cheering, all the way through cheering. That's what I love about with Steve. I can just, Steve, you're doing great. By God's grace, I pray for him every Sunday morning. Sent him a text today. He sent me a text earlier. Just always praying for you, Steve. You're doing great. Proud of you. Those are just those things that add value to others that mean so much. And if Matt's in the room today, Matt, I encourage you to live out the words that God spoke to Joshua in his leadership transition. Be strong, Matt. Be courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. Pastor Eric Geiger, who transitioned here a few years ago to Mariner Church in South California, puts it this way. Leadership is always a temporary assignment. And he goes on to say, always. It is a temporary assignment because leaders do not ultimately own the teams, ministries, or organizations they lead. They simply steward what the Lord has entrusted in their care for a season. Just for a season. God's faithfulness. And at the end of the day, church family, pastors are simply God's servants. God's servants. Therefore, we trust God will continue to build this church. To build this church. My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. I was 13 years old. My birthday, my mom and dad gave me a Bible with that verse in there. And that verse has just ringed in my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. God is so faithful to direct your paths. It's been said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Praying for you in this church. You may be recently attending at this church. I want to encourage you. Thanks for being here. If you're a guest today, thank you for being here. You may be someone in this room who is kind of, what does it mean to be a Christ follower? And you know, what does it mean to be a Christ follower and put my faith in Christ and to know that God loves you and God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins and to have a relationship with Him? A picture of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to know that. And then in the room today with those perhaps that are just in a challenging season, difficult season, that God is faithful, God is with you, He'll never abandon you, He'll never leave you. And God uses problems in your life, in my life, to produce in our life staying power. Right? So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be faithful. Let's pray. Father, it means a lot to call you our Father. It speaks of a relationship we certainly don't deserve, but by your grace, Father, thank you. Thank you for your church. The gift of the body of Christ. I thank you for this church here, Grace Church, and how you've, in these many years, God, have used this church, and this church has grown and using this community to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. I thank you for Pastor Phil and Bonnie and their faithfulness and the faithfulness of the people in these pews today and those who are serving here. So grateful, God, for what you're doing here. You're so faithful. So I lift this up today and just give Pastor Phil to you and Pastor Matt to you and this church as they transition. I thank you for all that they've already done to prepare and excited for what you're going to do in this place for the cause of Christ in Des Moines, Iowa. This city needs a gospel-preaching church. And thank you for this church that preaches the gospel. I thank you for each member in this church who are faithful, serving, giving, engaging. Wow, what a blessing, church. What a gift. We pray and give all this to you, we pray in Jesus' name. And together, church, we said, amen. Amen.